Good morning, everyone. Welcome to early morning prayer. My name is Joy. Would you flip with me to today's scripture passage in this little booklet? Let's turn to page 76. Today's passage is from Luke 46 to 62. An argument arose among them as to which one of them was the greatest. But Jesus, aware of their inner thoughts, took a little child and put it by his side and said to them, "Whoever welcomes this child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. For the least among all of you is the greatest." John answered, "Master, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he does not follow with us." But Jesus said to him, "Do not stop him, for whoever is not against you is for you." When the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead of him. On their way, they entered a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him, but they did not receive him, because his face was set toward Jerusalem. When his disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them. Then they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another, he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead. For as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." So we have here an account of three persons that offered themselves to follow Christ, and the answers that Christ gave to each of them. The first was extremely eager to follow Christ. Perhaps he was hanging out with Jesus and had seen the miracles he had performed or had heard his wise teaching. He could have even been experiencing a spiritual high. It almost seemed as if this first person was too rash and had not counted the cost of following Jesus. Jesus then ripped away the romanticism of what it meant to be with him. Jesus gave him a necessary caution not to promise himself great things in the world in following him, but on the contrary, to count upon poverty and meanness, for the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. So in other words, Jesus was saying to him, don't get too cozy. Be prepared to get out of your comfort zone if you want to follow me. The second person asked to bury his dad. So we are all tempted to think that, you know, our duty to our relations will excuse us from our duty to Christ. So it's a plausible excuse indeed. Let me go and bury my father. Let me take care of my family. Let me earn enough money while I can to provide well for my children. And then I will think of serving Christ. Doesn't seem all too unreasonable. However, the kingdom of God and the righteousness thereof must be sought and minded in the first place. Also, Jesus is saying, let the spiritually dead bury their dead. And in more general terms, it may mean something like, don't get yourself worked up about the death of a relative. Focus on the living. What's important is the proclamation of the gospel to the living. And for only they can hear it, believe and be saved. So this doesn't mean that Jesus is telling him that he can't go to his father's funeral, but rather that he must get his priorities right. And so in other words, Jesus was saying to this guy, first things first, your business is life, not death, and life is urgent. announce God's kingdom. So the third person asked to say bye to his family before following Christ. And Jesus wanted to delay no more. And it is as though Jesus knew that this man could have been talked out of following Jesus if he returned home. Let me draw some parallels here. So take, for instance, a man who is involved in an illicit and adulterous relationship. When confronted with sin, he acknowledges it, but then explains or says something like, "Listen, just let me go back to my lover and explain why I need to stop this relationship, why I can't keep this up." Well, he shouldn't even be going back to her. He shouldn't even have to explain or to say goodbye. In seeking to go back, he just wants to sever in his sin just a tad bit longer, just one more time. So don't go to the refrigerator and open the door if you've committed yourself to a diet. What does the story of a plowman have to do with the journey? A plowman who looks back while plowing causes his furrow to be crooked. He has to look straight ahead in order to keep the plow from going off course. Likewise, if we will look back on what we have freely left behind to follow the Lord, our path will diverge and we'll miss what God has for us. So in other words, Jesus was saying in this passage, no procrastination, don't look back. You can't put God's kingdom off till tomorrow. Carpe diem, seize the day. So we live in a world where things are not often what they seem, and where there always seems to be a catch to everything, whether it's an airplane ticket, an apartment square footage, or a phone bill. We are always surprised by something disclosed or misleading. But throughout the Gospels and this passage, Jesus is always very upfront about the cost of following him and of being his disciple. He doesn't want us to be confused or misled. Often in church, we present people with a sexy gospel, a gospel that is a shadow of what it really, means to follow Jesus, because we do not want to scare them away or turn them off to God, turn them off from God. But Jesus tells us very clearly in this passage that to be his disciple, we must commit ourselves completely with our whole entire being. And that it cannot just be a good thing, but that it needs to be the most important thing. The first man in this parable is drawn away by the reality of hardships that will come as we follow Jesus. The next person sees no urgency to follow Jesus. I can do it when I'm old or retired. And the last person is struggling with a divided heart and loss of focus. So Jesus, in this passage, is saying to us that to follow God is not just another task we add to our lives and to our to-do list. Jesus says it is everything. So Abraham and Sarah had Isaac when they were way past their childbearing years. And so, of course, when they eventually conceived him, they were over the moon, right? And perhaps they even treated him like an idol in their lives, so much so that God had to test Abraham to demonstrate the quality of his character and to test how far he was willing to go in terms of obedience and trust. So as now as we're being led at a time of worship, shall we just reflect and ask God to reveal to us the idols in our lives that are keeping us from totally following him? What are the things that we love more than Jesus? Is it our love for money? Is it our families? Is it our time? Or our fear of discomfort? Our fear of poverty? Our fear of meanness? Or of uncertainty? Let's pray for him to give us the discipline, the grit, the obedience to put all these things aside. Let us remember what P. Eugene said a couple of weeks ago, that fans wear a cross but followers bear the cross. Let's pray. Father, as I look at these passages, you know, we realize that we are seen in every one of these excuses as to why we can't fully follow Jesus. We confess and repent of our lack of love for Jesus, and that sometimes we love other things more than Him. Most of the time, in fact. So help us to see that He is the only thing in this world that does not change. He is the constant, yesterday, today, forevermore. Help us to see that Jesus is worth everything. He is worthy of everything. Help us to worship and follow Him this day.
Trust Him.
So now let's start by praying for Tobin Miller. He is the teaching pastor that wrote this devotional. Let's pray for his ministry at Watermark Community Church, that God would continue to bless him and his family and use him mightily in what he does. Let's pray for his wife, Cressida, and his four children, Rachel, Rebecca, Kip, and Caitlin. Next, can we turn our eyes to the slides? Let's pray for those amongst us in our community who are sick with cancer, that God's healing hands to come upon them for comfort, for peace, for courage. Let's also pray for their families and their caregivers. Next, let's pray for those who are sick but also need to receive Christ, that God would continue to soften their hearts and that they would open up their hearts for God to satisfy the needs of their spirits. Moving on to the next slide, shall we pray for those who have other infirmities? moving on, shall we also pray for our brothers and sisters who are looking for jobs? Let's claim God's supernatural provision for each and every one of them. Let's pray for God to restore self-confidence or any self-worth that's been lost during this time of waiting, Lord. And let's pray for them to be truly reliant on God during this difficult time. Moving on to the next slide, let's pray for our local ministries, local churches, YWAM Hong Kong, the Sports Service International Shanti Ministries, Masters Beauty Red Light District Outreach, for face-to-face Feed the Hungry, for Christian Solidarity Worldwide. Let's pray for their leaders, for wisdom. Let's pray for our missions committee, headed by P. Eugene, Jamie Donaldson, John Kang, Sarah, Jisung, and Kiwan. Let's pray for God to reveal His clarity of for God to reveal His purpose and His mission for them clearly. And let's also pray for obedience on their end, for them to have open hearts, open minds to what God is trying to lead them to do this year. Let's pray for the local outreach, community center, Igape, homeless ministry, the Red Light District Ministry. Let's pray for the Hong Kong, for its government, for the people in Hong Kong, for the wealth gap, that there will be a revival in the city, that this place would be like a city on a hill, that it would be a light to China, a gateway to China. Let's intercede for the people in Hong Kong. Let's pray for McCain House Church. Let's pray for God's presence to be amongst the group as they meet. Let's pray for the Holy Spirit to not just minister to KJ and Jimmy, who are the leaders, but to every single member present tonight. We just want to thank you for bringing us together this morning to start our day with you. Thank you for all the blessings that we so often take for granted. Father, I just pray that as we go about our business today, that we will be constantly reminded of your grace and mercy, and that we will also learn to display that same grace and love to people around us, regardless of how unlovable they may be, and that we will continually strive to be like a city on a hill, to radiate light to this world. So Father, we ask for you to bless us with healthy bodies and journey mercies. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.